A new documentary hits select theaters this weekend. It's called No End in Sight, and it lays out misstep by misstep exactly what happened in the early months of the war in Iraq that led to where we are today. It's a compelling and disquieting story told largely by the people who helped design and implement the U.S. occupation of Iraq. Charles Ferguson is the filmmaker, and this is your chance to talk with him. Give us a call at 800-989-8255 or send us an email to talk@npr.org. And Charles Ferguson joins us now from our studio at NPR West. Thanks so much for being with us, Charles.
Thank you for having me.
Now, we've had a lot of documentaries about the Iraq War. What is different about yours? What did you really set out to – what story did you set out to tell in this documentary that's different from others, perhaps?
Well, there have been a number of excellent documentaries about the Iraq War, but they've been extremely specific and personal and individual. And what I sought to do was to tell in the course of a single film, in a comprehensive way, the story of how we got to where we are now and how Iraq came to be where it is now.
One thing that's very interesting that you do is you really focus on the characters in this story, the people who were there at the beginning. Both at the beginning of the film, I think, and I know at the end, you just show their faces, and they're very expressive, full of, you can tell they're full of emotion about what they're talking about. Tell us who some of these characters are that you really base this story on, and how did you persuade them to talk with you?
Well, I tried very hard to tell the story of the Iraq War and occupation through the experiences of the people who were there making and or witnessing the decisions. And so the people in the film include General Jay Garner, who was in charge of the occupation of Iraq for the first couple of months of the occupation, Colonel Paul Hughes, who was director of strategic policy, who was in charge of recalling the Iraqi army until L. Paul Bremer disbanded the Iraqi army, which many of us think caused the insurgency. Barbara Bodine, who was in charge of Baghdad. Richard Armitage, who was Deputy Secretary of State and who witnessed many of the policy discussions at the National Security Council concerning Iraq policy. The Iraqi ambassador to the United Nations, Faisal Istrabadi, who helped write the new Iraqi constitution, many other people.
You know, some of these people, I think we have thought, we have been under the impression that they made some of the mistakes that have led us to where we are now. But this film gives you the impression that it wasn't so much their mistakes, but they certainly give you the impression that it was because they couldn't get what they needed and nobody was listening to what they were saying.
I think that's largely true. To an astonishing extent, I think unprecedented, literally unprecedented in American history, this war and occupation and the critical decisions about this war and occupation were run by an astonishingly small number of people, less than six. And
who were they?
They were the Vice President, Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, then Secretary of Defense, Paul Wolfowitz, formerly Deputy Secretary of Defense, Under Secretary of Defense Douglas Feith, L. Paul Bremer, who was in charge of the occupation of Iraq from May of 2003 to June of 2004, and a little-known or less-known man, Walter Slocum, who was in charge of policy for the Iraqi military.
Yeah. We have a cut of tape from interviews you did with Colonel Paul Hughes and Walter Slocum. And just to quickly refresh for our listeners' mind who Colonel Paul Hughes is and who Walter Slocum is, and then we'll play that tape.
Paul Hughes was the Army colonel who was director of strategic policy for the occupation and who found himself in charge of recalling the 500,000-man Iraqi army so that it could be used to stabilize the country and begin reconstruction, and who found to his utter astonishment that L. Paul Bremer and Walter Slocum had decided to disband and abolish the Iraqi army without even consulting him.
Yeah. Now, here is a cut from an interview with Paul Hughes, and in this cut of tape, he's talking about how he feels about the role he played in Iraq.
There are nights when I don't sleep very well, that I fault myself for not pushing the issue, that I think I should have gone and kicked his door in and said, damn it, listen, this was a mistake. We need to do something to rectify it. but I never had the opportunity to do it. And trying to kick in a door, you know, with an ambassador who's essentially the, you know, the czar of Iraq, you know, for a colonel to try and do, it just wasn't going to happen. You couldn't get past the front door.
Whose door was he trying to kick in? Did he want to kick in, or did he regret not kicking in?
L. Paul Bremer's door. L. Paul Bremer, who, on Walter Slocum's recommendation, made the decision to disband the Iraqi army on May 9, before either Slocum or Bremer had ever set foot in Iraq, and without either of them having spoken to General Garner or Colonel Hughes about their decision.
When you mentioned earlier the ambassador to Iraq, whose name I'm forgetting at the moment, the woman who was the ambassador to the Iraq in the beginning.
Barbara Bodine, who was ambassador-level career foreign service officer who was placed in charge of Baghdad,
right,
in the central zone of Iraq.
And one of the big regrets that she expresses was the fact that the looting of Baghdad was allowed to continue. Particularly, I think she had deep regrets about the looting of the cultural institutions of Iraq.
Yes. The looting doesn't quite convey what happened in Iraq and in Baghdad as soon as American forces took over the country and deposed Saddam. First it was looting, and then after the looting came very systematic and extremely thorough, really, pillaging of the entire city, the entire nation, the entire infrastructure of the country. And that extended to all of the cultural, literary, and historical sites in Baghdad and in Iraq, including the National Archives and the National Museum, which were completely devastated.
One of the things your film does very effectively is build the case that there were certain decisions made and that each of those decisions upped the ante in terms of Iraqi anger, which ultimately led to the insurgencies and the very difficult situation that we find ourselves in there now. Looting was one. The decision to let go of the military, as you already mentioned. De-bathification was another. And because the problem was so many people then were left without anything to do, without money, without a way to support their families, and with a whole lot of anger.
Yes. It's really almost incomprehensible that some of these decisions were made. This was a country which, after a dozen years of sanctions, was deeply impoverished. When I was in Iraq, my translator was a former emergency room doctor who had worked as an emergency room doctor through the occupation, through the war and into the early occupation, earning $7 a month as an emergency room doctor. Iraq had an estimated unemployment rate of 40% to 50%. And in a country with those kinds of conditions, the two of the first decisions that L. Paul Bremer took purged the Iraqi government of 40 to 50,000 of its most experienced administrators and technocrats, threw them out into the street, and banned them for life from employment in the government, and then disbanded the military, throwing 500,000 armed men into the street with no severance pay and no notice.
Yeah. Now, I know that you see yourself as being an unpartisan observer as a filmmaker. Do you think others would view you this way, or might think that you're taking a very specific point of view in the story, both towards the mistakes that were made and who made them? As I mentioned earlier, many of your interviews are with that team of people who were there first, and they're extremely critical of the people who came behind them, who were led by Bremer.
That is true, although Colonel Paul Hughes, for example, stayed on as Director of Strategic Policy for the occupation under Bremer for a considerable period of time. Deputy Secretary of State Richard Armitage, formerly career military officer, lifelong Republican. Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson, Chief of Staff for Colin Powell, lifelong Republican, career Army officer. These are not left-wing rabble-rousers, and they were deeply, profoundly disturbed by what they saw. And many of them, including Colonel Hughes, were very hesitant about speaking out because it's not in their nature to be critical, to oppose authority. They're by nature men and women who see themselves as performing their duty as best they can, but they were so appalled and disturbed by what they saw and what they experienced that eventually they felt that they had to.
Yeah. We're talking with Charles Ferguson. He's a director and producer of a new documentary called No End in Sight. And you are listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. We're going to try and get one call in here before we have to wrap this up. Let's go to Dustin in Athens, Ohio. Dustin, go ahead.
Hi, Lynn. Thanks for taking my call. I've heard wonderful things about this documentary. I was wondering, with the information that they had at the time of the invasion about Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, would it have been possible to foresee the rise of al-Qaeda as an instrument of inciting sectarian violence and really ramping up the insurgency?
All right. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Well, al-Qaeda was not really a factor in Iraq until we, through our policy mistakes, created conditions that permitted it to become one. Al-Qaeda and Saddam Hussein didn't get along, and Al-Qaeda was not significantly active in Iraq, and in fact wasn't significantly active in Iraq even in the early occupation. But after the de-ba'athification order, after the disbanding of the Iraqi army, when the insurgency began to arise, and also because the United States didn't have enough troops to secure the borders of Iraq and, of course, wasn't using the Iraqi army to secure those borders because the Iraqi army had been disbanded, foreign fighters began to move into Iraq. And as Iraq descended into chaos, it became easier and easier for those foreign fighters to operate. And now we find that al-Qaeda and al-Qaeda in Mesopotamia are significant forces in the country. They are still a minority of the insurgency. Most of the insurgency is domestic, and most of the violence in Iraq is domestic and not linked to al-Qaeda. But there's no question that al-Qaeda is a rapidly increasing factor.
Charles Ferguson, I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Charles Ferguson is the producer and director of No End in Sight, and he joined us from the studios of NPR West.